WICN in Worcester, this is the Venture Forum, tales of entrepreneurship from central Massachusetts. I'm your host, Mark Reed Edwards, Executive Director of the Venture Forum. Now let's start today's tale. This week's guest on the Venture Forum is Lauren Monroe, president of Technicopia and a founding member of the organization's board of directors. Technicopia is a nonprofit makerspace located here in Worcester at 44 Portland Street, right above the WICN studios. The 11,000 square foot facility offers common workspace, rental bays, and a variety of tools for artisans to create and work with. They also host training classes and workshops in their complete wood shop, metal shop, 3D printer station, electronics bay, textile studio, glass frameworking shop, classroom, design studio, and the CNC router and laser cutter shop. Technicopia also provides several project-based learning opportunities for youth. Lauren, it is great to have you on the Venture Forum. Welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
So can you share a bit about your background and career that led you to Technicopia?
Sure. I am native to this area. I was born in Worcester. I grew up in Rutland. I left the area for a long time as a young adult. I went away to college, kind of bounced around New England, finishing my college career. And I ultimately left the area to travel the world when I was 21, 22. I spent about a year in Italy and Spain, and then spent 3 years living in Tokyo, Japan.
Wow.
Yes, I was very, it was unclear to me leaving, actually even in college, precisely what I wanted to study and pursue. I knew that I wanted to explore. I knew I had varied interests, and college was a great time to try many of those things. However, I also felt, you know, that pressure too. You know, sort of to get a degree and be done with it and move on. So after college, I chose to teach English in foreign countries to further feed that explorative need that I had, but also work and try out a profession.
Yeah. And you ended up back in the Worcester area.
That's right. That's right. Right before my last thing in Japan was traveling by ship around the world. And then I came back to Massachusetts, really set to go to grad school because I was pretty confident that the sciences were what I wanted to continue to study and pursue. And I started to apply to different grad schools in the country, hoping to further study biology and chemistry. Ultimately, I ended up teaching science in the public school for a short stint, and then through UINC, Youth Opportunities Upheld, which serves a lot of teenagers in rehabilitative settings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left that to open my own STEM education center, science, technology, engineering, and math, in the sprinkler factory.
Ah.
And this was 2008. So that's kind of a nutshell of my academic and then sort of professional career. Personally, something, you know, besides the education, the science teaching that I found, you know, really wonderful to do when I came back. Also, I was introduced to a music and art scene that I just had no idea existed when I was growing up in the area, you know, as a teenager. And ultimately, I mean, without that aspect of the culture that I was exposed to when I had returned to central Massachusetts, I don't know if I would have stayed. It certainly was a balance of those, of both of those things, doing something that I was passionate about professionally, but also the music and art scene that I was introduced to.
So you've seen the world and you're back in central Massachusetts. What makes this area special for you?
Well, I mean, I found myself in a social community that was multi-generational. And that was something, you know, something that I had seen, you know, certainly in some communities in England and in Spain. And, you know, even I spent some time living in Boston when I had come back to Massachusetts too, but hadn't found that sort of diverse and multi-generational community as easily there as I did when I was in Worcester. So that was very appealing, just meeting many different people from many different backgrounds. I also found it really easy to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think there's just something for everybody in Worcester. And then if you are able to be networked or connected soon enough to people who are like-minded, it's really easy to define yourself, find yourself, be yourself, and start something. You know, so in 2008, I decided to leave teaching in the classroom to teach in a more lab-based or project-based space, which is why I opened Worcester Think Tank in 2008. And it was very easy, sort of. The rent, anyway, was affordable.
Yeah.
The networks to meet other families or people who are seeking alternative forms of education, like, quickly led places that allowed me to begin, you know, I guess my entrepreneurial track of, you know, science education, you know, out of the schools.
So I gave a long laundry list of the things you do at Technicopia. Can you go a little bit more into that and the mission and the types of programs you run?
Sure. So Technicopia's mission is to, you know, maintain a diverse community that celebrates wide-ranging forms of technology, craft, education. And we do this by providing spaces and services dedicated to, like, technical and social collaborations. And really, we want to empower people to learn skills and expertise that allow them to support whatever their creative or humanitarian need is. You listed off earlier all the different shops that we have. And for each one of those shops, we have tool trainings, you know, that can teach you the basics on how to use every machine in those shops. One thing that we're looking to further develop, and we certainly have had, you know, this curriculum in the past. I would say this past year in COVID has kind of put a pause to some curriculum development. It has been project-based learning. So, okay, you know, I would like to learn how to make a zipper, you know, how to put a zipper in a bag, yeah. Or I would like to learn how to make a table or a cabinet that I need. So we're creating more of those classes that allow you to understand the practical application to, like, why you may want to learn how to use a table saw or band saw, you know, or planer or joiner safely.
It's kind of the confluence of art and science, isn't it? It's kind of where the artist and the scientist kind of meet.
Yes, I would say, you know, craft and engineering technology intersections are certainly widespread in the makerspace here. And I think always, or at least since my early days of teaching science, been a huge fan and advocate of when you can blend, you know, craft or art into teaching a hard discipline like science or engineering.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think of, like, a sculptor often has to know how to weld. So it's blending those two disciplines together. And that, it seems to me, that's something that you do at Technicopia.
Artists are problem solvers, you know? I mean, until you actually have to, you know, take that sculpture out of the studio and go install it somewhere, you know, I mean, that's where, like, that engineering brain just, like, kicks in. And I feel that artists and scientists are actually frequently, like, jumping back and forth, you know, in their own left, right brain, whatever, you know, the intersections between the two, exercising both skills that an artist or engineer would have without even realizing it. And sometimes it's hard to define which one is what, when.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. So you have a number of membership options. I'm interested in the kinds of people and you know, organizations that are members of Technicopia and the types of things that they do.
Well, we have about 130 members, and it ranges from hobbyists to small business owners and entrepreneurs, professionals, families, and then, of course, students that just visit the space for an experience or a training. You know, many people, you know, especially right now, you know, many people come to us because we are that outlet that they're seeking to finally pursue something that they'd always wanted to make, always wanted to do or try. And, you know, we provide the community and the classes for those stepping stones to get them to have the skills so that they can kind of see that idea or that desire through.
Yes. So if I had an idea, I wanted to, you know, start making dining room tables or something like that, I don't know. How would I go about figuring out whether I would be a good fit for Technicopia?
That, I'm really glad you used that word good fit, because that's something else that I think is really important when people come through, is that if you wanted to make dining room tables, you know, that's something that you could do here. And we have a really active wood shop and a great wood shop team. So the first step would be meeting our wood shop steward, Jeffrey Voss, you know, who oversees, you know, that shop and its classes. He has, you know, he teaches, but he has 2 to 3 instructors that also teach other classes, you know, within that shop. And he's here, you know, almost every day and available once you've had your, you know, training and certification to bounce ideas off of and get advice from. We also have a loading dock and freight elevator, you know, so there's like other logistical things that would allow you to perhaps space for some storage for your project. And then ultimately, if you needed to ship and pack it out, you know, ways of doing that too.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily true that everybody walks through the door and is a perfect fit. You know, I mean, recently we had an entrepreneur who, you know, just needed to use one of our shops, but in a way that it wasn't quite designed. And as much as we were trying to make it work, we realized, you know, that he was really on a different track and needing a different space. And there are other, you know, some other spaces in the area.
Yeah. So say I just wanted to build one thing and I had the skills. Could I, you know, join and build that one thing, or is it an ongoing relationship usually?
We are month to month. So we are really very flexible for most any maker, whether you have a long-term or short-term project goal in mind. And 50 square foot bays that you can rent for your project materials and your space, you know, while you're here, just so you're not carting things in and out.
So I can keep my materials there and have them available when I, you know, pick up my project.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So one of the things that really intrigues me about Technicopia is the youth training you do. I think it's really, shop class used to be a thing. You know, when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite classes in junior high school and high school. And I don't know that they have shop classes at least as readily available as they used to. So being exposed to this kind of thing is not something that generally happens in schools. Can you tell me about the programs that you help youth with?
Sure. And that's really funny. It just made me also think of my own experience in high school, where I found myself, we did not have shop or like home ec or anything like that when I went to school. But we still did labs, you know, in the science classes. So I found myself really drawn to those classes and then ultimately
Bunsen pursued. Burners and all that, right?
We had all, the chemicals, you know, the Sanks and the Erlenmeyer flasks, pipettes, which I think led, you know, was one area I was like, well, okay, I will do this in college, I guess. Like, I'm enjoying this work. But if shop had been around, I don't know. Maybe I would have started my own interest in shop may have started earlier for me, because as for me, it happened as like an older adult. So we have tried a lot of different youth programming in our space. Many of our classes are at the intersections of art, science, and technology. We have served kids as young as 5 in woodworking programs, where they're working with predominantly, you know, hand tools to build, you know, boxes and small models or birdhouses or rocket launch pads. And right now, you know, we're still serving a lot of students, you know, mostly online, through, again, like the intersection of art, craft, and technology.
Yeah.
And our shops, you know, all of our tools, except for those within the metal shop and the wood shop, are open to youth ages 12 and up. Now, it needs to either be a guided experience with one of our instructors, or, you know, it can be, you know, a certification class just like an adult would take, but the youth would then need to have, you know, a guardian or parent present when they came into the makerspace, you know, as a member to use the tool. And we do have a few families here with us that have kids that are using the tools in those ways with that supervision, that family supervision.
So in a way, you're filling a hole that maybe public schools or even private schools don't fill for these kids who are out there trying to explore things that interest them that aren't available.
Yeah, and I mean, it's coming back in some schools. Its importance is certainly recognized in the absence, you know, that it's had for three decades, you know, in mm-hmm. the schools. But it's slow coming and it's expensive. And, you know, there are a lot of liabilities to consider. It's a lot of organizing and it's a lot of systems, you know, to make it work.
Yeah. So what kinds of machines? I'm really interested in machines. And I you know, you've got a wood shop and a metal shop and a, you know, 3D printer. Those machines really interest me because to a certain extent, they kind of do the same things, but with different mediums, right? And I'm just interested, say, for example, in the wood shop, do you have planers? Do you have, all different kinds of saws? You know, what do you have there?
Sure. We do have planer. We have a planer. We have a joiner. We have chop saws, radial arm saws, band saws, saw stop, table saw. We have wood lathes. We have a ShopBot CNC router, a full spectrum laser cutter. We actually have two laser cutters. You know, our largest laser cutter can take 4x4 sheets of, you know, thin plywood, acrylic, some fabrics, some leathers. We in the metal shop have a TIG welder, MIG welder, a CNC plasma cutter, a handheld plasma torch. We have glass flame working torches, you know, in our glass studio, and our textile studio has, you know, two Singer sewing machines, a serger, a Tippmann Boss leather stitcher, and we're about to get screen printing equipment and digital embroidery capabilities. So we are actually in the middle of a capital equipment upgrade. So we received $50,000 from Mass Development and are right now constructing and bringing in those new ads.
That's great. It sounds extensive and exactly what a maker needs.
And overwhelming too. I mean, sometimes I, you know, people will say, you know, I came in, I knew what I was going to come in and do. You know, a couple of my other maker friends were here. I saw what they were doing. I got a little distracted learning what they were up to. And then I didn't know with the time I had left whether to head to the metal shop and weld that last piece that I needed for that stool or to go to the wood shop and cut down some wood for the shelving that I finally needed to finish in my, you know, rental bay.
So an embarrassment of riches, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a moment to take a peek into the future with Lauren Monroe, president of Technicopia. So stay tuned. Back with Lauren Monroe, president of Technicopia. Lauren, the past year has been a challenge for everyone. How has Technicopia weathered the pandemic?
So it's been hard, you know, as it's been hard on everyone. But, you know, we also saw innovation and a new opportunity in this last year. We closed in March for 2 months. We were able to open under like manufacturing and office space in mid or late May. We saw a dip in membership, but then we saw, you know, like we lost 15% of our members because they couldn't access the space. But then we saw, we quickly within a month and a half regained those numbers back with new members. And now we're actually operating at the same numbers, or we're a little higher than in member numbers than we were And we almost can't keep up with some of the new member inquiry. So I think as people are redefining themselves, as some people in this pandemic have found their home more or have more time, they're reflecting on how they want to go back to work, what kind of work. Maybe they lost work, you know, and so that environment has somehow created this visibility for us where people are seeking outlets to explore new definitions of themselves. So we've been okay. The thing that has been hardest actually has been our youth programs. We've reopened, you know, very intentionally, very focused to be sure that we, you know, take care of the basics and take care of our space and the members first. And then, of course, the trainings and certifications that those members need, then the general public, and then the youth, you know, kind of starting with the teenagers first and then kind of working to preteens. We went online almost immediately with our youth programs in the spring and have decided to just for now just kind of stay that way. You know, we just had no idea what was coming. We also stopped and followed what a lot of other makerspaces were doing during the pandemic from like March to June or July, making PPE. So we made almost 10,000 face shields, more than half of those of which all were in the Greater Worcester community. Given to the Greater Worcester community. It was an amazing thing. And the number of volunteers that we got that just didn't want to get paid for their work and wanted to just, you know, give free labor because they could towards the cause was just like extraordinary. It also showed that our makerspace had this capability and even it was using like parts of our spaces in different ways. And I always find that really eye-opening, and I just love that brain exercise of like exploring something novel or different or new in a space that you thought.
Yeah, you do things differently and use your space in a way you hadn't imagined.
Exactly. So I regret that we don't have our open events. Like once a week, we had public events, open hacking crafts. People could come in, talk about their ideas. It was a very social night for our members who would come in to do projects and talk with one another. And, you know, we had a local teen following for some period of time in our past, you know, who would come into that space too. But we just haven't gotten to opening widely to the public again. We're actually hoping to do something in June outside, you know, in the parking lot, you know, like a small Make It in Worcester Festival.
Oh, cool.
But it's been a whirlwind.
and things are getting better. There's a kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. It might be a long tunnel, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, and people will be getting together at some point in the not too distant future.
It feels that way. And I hope that to be true.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Nothing surprises me anymore. So, and just, you know,
yeah.
Looking ahead with an open mind.
So that building you're in, the printer's building, is a great building, isn't it? And it's in an interesting location. It's right across from where Polar Park is, and the Woo Sox are going to be playing there soon. How do you think that development, that building of this ballpark and the associated impact that that's going to have, how do you think it will affect the area?
Well, I mean, that park certainly is going to light up the streets. My gosh. I mean, I can't wait to see what it looks like when they turn on those stadium lights. We're on the sixth floor here with a panoramic view around the whole floor. And we've been watching that park get constructed and can see it. I hope, you know, it will begin to encourage, you know, foot traffic, visitation to local shops, restaurants. I hope that, you know, Technicopia will maybe have some of its open houses again, you know, during the time when those games begin, so that, you know, people may, again, if there's increased foot traffic, you know, or even to someone's parked car to the stadium, that they, you know, may be able to hop on up here as well. I'm really hopeful for more development for encouraging foot traffic, just generally, you know, downtown and connections between, you know, say the Canal District and downtown.
What do you think about the future of makerspaces and what do you see in the future for Technicopia?
Well, I will say that makerspaces are complex spaces to run because they have so many different kinds of shops and offerings. One thing that I think may happen to maker spaces going forward is maybe not like full specialization, but maybe some better categorization of like what the goals of the makerspace and needs that they're fulfilling are. So I say that because knowing how, you know, Artisans Asylum in Somerville, which is actually, they are closed and moving to Alston. They're doing a big campaign to move right now. And also Technicopia, with Technicopia's history, you know, we are this amalgamation of people with specific interests and needs that kind of came together all under one roof. I had a STEM education center. There was a wood and metal shop off of Webster Street. And there was a robotics company, you know, that had turned its robotics company over into being a makerspace. And we joined forces to create Technicopia today. Glass shop artists who were seeking a place to practice their craft, you know, came to us with their supplies, saying they just needed a space and setup. And so it was all very organic, you know, it was all based on need and networks. And sometimes, as like, you know, president of the space, needing to make sure it's operating smoothly, I've got to know a little bit about too much sometimes, you know, and that's the technology that might run the CNC plasma cutter, which is a, like, you know, in our metal shop, which is a very complex tool, you know, to the, you know, oxygen and propane needs of a glass shop, or the when the blades need to be replaced in the wood shop. Now, of course, we have different people who are the stewards of those spaces. So yeah, I'm not saying that everybody has to know everything. However, you know, sometimes I kind of wonder, you know, we have a wood shop and, you know, we have two machines in the same space, but one creates a lot of dust. Another, the other one is supposed to have a dust-free environment. You know, what were we thinking? You know, so, and this is complicating. And here we are, fast forward, you know, 5 years later, actually. And this is why we have this problem. So I know that other makerspaces have these same woes, you know, like, well, it was big, we could get it through the door. So, you know, here it is. We knew it wasn't perfect. So I think, you know, even for Technicopia, if we were to, say, expand, you know, it would be a very intentional expansion, and we would really be looking at surveying for need space and sort of specializing.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Venture Forum, Lauren. I really enjoyed our discussion.
This was great. I really enjoyed speaking with you today.
I'm Mark Reed Edwards. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Venture Forum from WICN in Worcester. Join us next week as we continue to share tales of entrepreneurship from Central Massachusetts.